Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother John, Miss Jean, Choir, Miss Alicia. Again, thank you all for being here today. I've asked Brother Schaefer if he will come and read from John 11, verses 25 and 26, and then to pray for us as we go into the Word of the Lord today. Brother Schaefer.
How blessed we are today to be able to have the...
Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Please try again.
Yeah, something went wrong. I'm glad that happened to me and not to the pastor. He might get his sermon, I don't know. I'm going to take a minute. The pastor and I was talking after the service out there. There was a little bird. I couldn't tell exactly what it was up in the tree where you could see it. And I thought the way it was moving down a limb, I really thought it was a mouse. But it was just a tiny little bird. I don't know what kind of bird it was. And I thought, that bird's out there listening to the people of God praising the Lord. And then I saw a couple of duck or geese fly over, and I thought, you know, that they have the flyovers of the airplanes and everything. God sent us a couple of ducks this morning. And how blessed we are to be able to worship our King. We talked about the resurrection. Brother Mike is going to tell us about the resurrection. But prior to the resurrection, there was a meeting that Jesus had with Mary and Martha, but especially Martha, and about the death of their brother, Lazarus. And so when Jesus had met with Martha, she had said, I know my brother's going to live again at the last day. I know that. I believe that. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe it? Let's pray. Oh God, our hearts are full today, because we celebrate the resurrection of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Yes. We've read your word that told us all about him. He was in eternity, but he was born of a virgin. And he lived here upon this earth doing nothing but good, teaching good, doing good, wonderful miracles, opening blind eyes and deaf ears, raising the dead, all kinds of miracles, Lord. And yet, they took the Lord Jesus Christ and they crucified him. Our hearts are heavy because of what he suffered and he bore in his own body. He suffered this for me and for all of us today who know you as Lord and Savior. He endured all of those things for us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They nailed him to the cross. How horrible a death. How horrible a way to die. They nailed Jesus to the cross. Cross that we should be on. Barabbas, that was his cross. And Barabbas represented each of us. And because Jesus took the cross, Barabbas went free. And we go free because of faith in Christ. Amen. Oh God in heaven, help us today that our lives can count for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the disciples. Yeah, they ran away. They were fearful. They fled ran away from Christ when he needed him most. But after he died, he was buried. He stayed in that grave 3 days, and he came forth, and he lives today. He lives to make intercession for us. I don't understand your word when you said in there that he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He looked to the... It was with joy that he did that. Thank you, Father. God, I pray today that should there be anyone in this service that doesn't know you in the forgiveness of sin, may the Holy Spirit take the message of your word that our pastor preaches and drive it home to every heart, and may there be new birth, new life. Because Jesus lives, may they live too. Thank you, Lord, that one day we're going to see you. One day you're going to bring us home. And what a glorious day that's going to be. And it's all because that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again, ascended back into heaven, and comes back to get us and takes us to be with you forever and forever. Thank you for that today, Lord. God bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's do it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. He's alive.
Bless you, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Schaefer. Our hearts do rejoice, if you are a Christian today, in the fact that he took the sin burden. And I reflect back on all the nasty sin of my life, past, present, and yes, in the flesh, in the future. But he paid that sin debt for me. Praise God this morning. I think about why we're here today. We're here today because there's an empty tomb. He arose. And as we gather together on the first day of the week to celebrate the risen Savior, we come to you today to look inside the viewpoint of Mark from the Gospel of Mark. This morning at our sunrise service, we had Brother Steve and Brother Randy and Brother John read from different accounts of the Scripture. And they read from Matthew, and they read from Luke, and they read from John. This morning, I'd like to read from you from Mark. We've been in the Gospel of Mark, and so I want to take you to the back of the book and look there in chapter 16. Chapter 16. Let's start there in verse 1. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. We'll go to verse 13 this morning. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. The Sabbath was past. It was Saturday night. The Jewish Sabbath had passed. The Jewish law had ended at sundown to where these ladies could go buy the spices to anoint Jesus' body so that he could be preserved in the grave. Wow. Can't you imagine what a shock it was when they got there? As they had bought these spices, the first lady that he named was Mary Magdalene. We're going to see her again in verse 9, the one that had seven demons, to who Jesus cast those demons out of. Many people have said that Mary might have been the woman at the well in John chapter 4. We could research that and talk about that, I guess. I want to dispel some theories today, if we may. Popular culture has been caught up into the Da Vinci Code. Popular culture has been caught up into the History Channel. Popular culture has been caught up into all these various outlets that are absolutely false. And I need to dispel that today. Mary Magdalene was not the wife of Jesus. Mary Magdalene did not bear children of Jesus. And you and I as Christians, we don't need to go to the History Channel for our source. We don't need to go to Hollywood for our source. We need to go to the Word of God for our source. So if you're here today and those are some things that you've been taught through liberal Hollywood, through liberal media outlets, I would encourage you today to turn the TV off, to put down the books that get bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list, and pick up the best-selling book of all time, the Bible. It'll tell you the truth, okay? Mary Magdalene was there, Mary the mother of James, Salome, which was John and James's mother, that was Jesus' aunt, and they bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Luke also mentions Joanna, another lady that was present to go there as well. Joanna means grace. Verse 2 says, very early in the morning on the first day of the week. So the Sabbath was Saturday and the first day of the week was Sunday. So we know that it was very early in the morning that on the first day of the week they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. This is why we gather on Sundays, folks. Because our Savior arose on the first day of the week. And on the first day of the week, the body of Christ throughout history, starting after the resurrection of Christ, all through the founding of the church in the book of Acts, all throughout history, has gathered on the first day of the week to do what? Celebrate a risen Savior. That's why we're here. So as we're here and worshiping Him as a risen Savior, while we're here today, in verse 3, Mark says this. He says, they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? Ladies are always going to talk, right? Man, listen, I've been to a lot of funerals. And at those funerals, ladies talk. Did you see the color of that casket? Did you see the flowers up there? I hear people just saying those things all the time. Here's these ladies going to the tomb of Jesus. They've bought the spices. They're carrying the spices with them to anoint His body for burial. And as they're walking there, they're talking about a problem that they're going to encounter. How are we going to move that rock? How are we going to move that rock? 2-ton rock that had a groove on the tomb that we studied this morning in Sunday school. One of the best places that I've ever been is Eureka Springs at the Great Passion Play. When you take the Holy Land tour, they take you into a tomb that's replicated in the one that Jesus would have been buried in, that borrowed tomb. And in that borrowed tomb, that tomb is probably about 5 foot tall. So I'm 6'1". Many of you in here are much taller than I am. You would have to stoop down to get into that tomb. And there's this big, huge rock, this huge boulder that's been rolled over this tomb where it's sealed, where nobody can get in. But watch this. Praise God. The Lord went straight out. And so when we look at this today, they were talking, how are we going to move this stone from the door of the tomb? How are we going to get that out of the way? In verse 4, they looked up and they saw that the stone had been rolled away. In the Greek, it means this. It means that the stone had not just been rolled away, but the stone had literally been picked up and put somewhere else. Praise God. It had been picked up and put somewhere else. It had been rolled away. And as it had been rolled away, it says, for it was very large. Brother Fred said in the service on Friday night, when he preached at Cartwright at our Good Friday service, he said the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let people come in. And so when we look at this in verse 5, and they entered the tomb, they saw a young man. And as they saw this young man clothed in a long white robe, he was sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. This young man that they are referring to here is an angel. As a matter of fact, when you read the Gospel of Luke says there was two men there in white apparel. These angels were there and they were clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And always in the Bible, when human beings encounter an angel, they are alarmed. They are in shock or in fear. Brother Dwayne texted me and he said, why don't preachers preach on angels? I thought that's a pretty good question. You don't hear a lot about angels anymore because in our culture today, if you ever talk about angels or you talk about the devil or you talk about demons, people think you're crazy. They think you're a fruitcake. Well, I'm here to tell you today, they're as real as you and I, okay? And I've thought in my life that I may have encountered an angel. I don't know. I'll tell you this, what happened to me this week. I went into Tractor Supply after work one day and I had a suit on. And you don't go into Tractor Supply wearing a suit, right? And I walked in Tractor Supply wearing a suit, and I'd got what I needed, and I went to the cashier, and it was busy. It was 5 o'clock. It was packed in there. I was getting my stuff to go out, and I seen this guy walk in. And this guy had a long ponytail. He had a hat on. It said the Passion Play. Had all this stuff on. And he walked up to me and said, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm doing great. How are you doing?" He said, "Man, I'm blessed." He said, "How you running with Jesus?" Oh, I wish I had the boldness to ask people that. And I said in front of everybody in Tractor Supply, I said, "Jesus is my Savior." And he said, "Right on, brother." And he kept walking. Well, I got my stuff and I gathered it up, and the girls were with me, and we got out in the pickup. And I said, "Girls, let's just sit here a minute. I want to see if that man comes out." He never came out. Now, I didn't wait too long, but I don't know. He may have been an angel. I don't know. But I wish I had the boldness to ask people their relationship, their walk with Christ. When I worked at Brookshire's in Quitman, Texas, I met a gentleman that had moved in up there. He lived off of Highway 37 between Winsboro and Quitman, and he was raising sheep in that community, and he would come into Brookshire's every day. Some of you are like that. You go into Brookshire's every day. People know you on a first-name basis. Well, I got to know this guy on a first-name basis, and when he'd come into Brookshire's every day on a first-name basis, he told me one day, he said, "Michael," he said, "you're a healer." I said, "Oh, no, sir, I'm not." I said, "The only healer I know is Jesus Christ." He said, "No, man." He said, "Every time I come in here, you're friendly. You speak to me. You ask me how I'm doing." He said, "Nobody else cares. Nobody else cares." Well, when those people that come into the store every day, they stop coming in, you wonder what happened to them. Kind of like people at church, right? You wonder what happened to them. So I got piqued and I got concerned. So I got in my pickup one day at lunchtime and I drove out to his house. And when I got to his house, everything was gone. He had no sheep. He had no Great Pyrenees. All of his vehicles, everything was miraculously just disappeared. I asked the neighbor, I said, "What happened to this gentleman?" I called him by name. They said, "Oh, he moved out of here about a week ago." And said, "We don't know where he moved to. Hadn't seen hide nor hair of him." Now, I got to thinking about that. And y'all may say I'm some type of quack. Was that some type of angel that God had sent my wife? I don't know. I just know this. He was there one day in Quitman, Texas. And then a couple weeks later, he wasn't. But there was an angel at the tomb. Luke says there was two. And Luke says that they rolled that stone away. They picked it up and moved it. Praise God. And so when we look at this today and we see this presence of angels, he said to them, the word means messenger. And it says here in verse 6, he said to them, "Do not be alarmed." I know you're scared, but I don't want you to be. Don't be alarmed. He said, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth. You seek Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified." Now church, these next three words is why we gather today. He said, "He is risen." That's why we're here today. That's why on Sunday mornings we put everything else aside. We put everything else aside. We put everything else aside and we gather together in corporate worship to celebrate a risen Savior. That's why we do this. If America, if the world would get back to realizing what the first day of the week means when it comes to celebrating the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and we recognize that as Christians, and we gather together to give Him the worship that He deserves, man, this place would be a far better off place than it is right now. So when you think about this, He said He is risen. He's not here. See? The place where they laid them, tomb's empty. Tomb's empty. Y'all ever been down here to the, what's it called down here on 20? Oh, I can't even think of it. Christmas lights. Santa Land. It don't need to be in Santa Land. It needs to be Jesus Land, right? When you pull down in there in Santa Land and you get to the Christmas story, then you get to the scene of the tomb, and you look down in there at the tomb and you can clearly see, man, when we get there in our vehicle and we turn and look, we tell the girls, "Look sideways here and look inside the tomb. There's nobody in the tomb." Aren't you thankful for that this morning? There's nobody in the tomb. So, see this place where they laid them? In verse 7, the angel says, "But go tell his disciples." And then look here in verse 7. I find this very interesting. He says, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." Now, we know that Mark was written from Peter's viewpoint, but it's interesting here that he mentions and Peter. Remember, this is how we are, church. Peter had denied him three times. And I think sometimes, don't we fall in that trap of denying who Jesus Christ is? Somebody will ask you a question like that guy did at me at Tractor Supply. What would you have said? Oh, I don't want to say anything. I might wake somebody. Or what's it called now? Woke. I might be part of the woke culture if I say, I don't want to offend somebody, right? No, I'm going to tell you what, folks. You and I need to proclaim who Jesus Christ is. And as we proclaim who Jesus Christ is, Peter had denied him three times. And the angel mentions Peter specifically. He says he's going before you to Galilee, and there you'll see him as he said to you. Jesus had told him this. And then in verse 8, they went out quickly and they fled from the tomb. For they were trembled and amazed. They were in shock. They couldn't believe this and what had happened, that Jesus had risen. And they go there and it says they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid of Roman persecution. They were afraid of the Jewish Pharisees. They were afraid to say that Christ has arose. I think sometimes we go on our jobs and we're afraid to speak out. I think sometimes we go to our family celebrations here in just another couple of minutes and we're afraid to say that we've been in the Lord's house. I think sometimes we go to places of the world and we're afraid to proclaim Jesus Christ and who He is, that He is risen. I think we're afraid. My people today, I pray for us as a people in Christ that you and I will have the boldness, that you and I will have the courage, that wherever we go, we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you look at this today, they were afraid. They were afraid. Now Mark gives a history lesson. In verse 9, he says, "Now when he had arose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven demons." We talked about her in verse 1. In verse 10, she went, and those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept, they were mourning and weeping because of Christ, his death, in verse 11. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. They did not believe. They couldn't believe her. They had watched from this distance their Savior be crucified on the cross. They'd watched him die. And now, Mary Magdalene, maybe it was because of her reputation, I don't know. But when she went and told them, they did not believe. Oh, we herald the gospel of Jesus Christ on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, every opportunity we have to tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are so many people who do not believe. Do not believe. And then it says in verse 12, after that, he appeared in another form of to two of them as they walked and went into the country. This is the road to Emmaus. He appears to Cleopas and a disciple. And I'm interested in this part because Cleopas and the disciple, they say this about Jesus. And oh, New Hope Baptist Church, for us to ever get back to this point, the heart of worship for Jesus Christ. Cleopas and the disciples said this, "He talked with us on the road, and then he sat down and opened scriptures for us." And these two men said this, they said, "Did not our hearts burn?" Did not our hearts burn? We need a people today that need a burning for the Word of God. We need a people today that's not interested in the flash, not interested in style, not interested in all the modes, but we need a people today that love to study the Word of God. Did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us on the road, as He opened up Scripture to us, and they went out and told it to the rest. And listen to this in verse 13. They did not believe them either. They did not believe them either. So where are we at today? Where are we at today? Can I share something with you this morning? on Dr. John Piper's website, they did a compilation of various things of why people come to church. Okay? Easter Sunday, we have our biggest crowd. The tenant worship back there combined this morning and today is 264. We're blessed. Amen. We're glad you're here. But I'll say this. The reason that this is the most celebrated day is because you celebrate Christ is risen on this one particular day. But praise God, we're commanded to come every first day of the week. So as we come every first day of the week, these are some reasons. Dr. Piper's staff compiled some reasons of why people come to church. Why people come to church. Can I share them with you right now? I'm going to anyways. Number one. And some of these are very important. Don't get me wrong on this. I don't want to make light of this whatsoever. Some of these are important attributes of why we should come to church. But I want you to see the number one reason that's left off here. The number one reason people come to church is, believe it or not, in this survey done, fellowship. They want a fellowship with people like-minded, like-aged, like-grouped, whatever it may be. They want a fellowship with those people. Want a fellowship with those people. It's amazing to me, and I'm just going to say this. It's amazing to me when you have fellowship, you have double the crowd than you do when you preach God's Word. Can I say that again? When you have fellowship, everybody out of the woodwork comes to the fellowship, but not everybody wants to come hear the preaching of God's Word. Number two, people go to church because they want to feel comfortable. They want to feel comfortable. Well, that preacher, he didn't preach on sin. Right? Right? There's a false prophet out of Houston, Texas. He don't ever say anything bad about sin. And he's got one of the largest churches, quote unquote, in the United States of America. He's a false prophet. Right? I want to come to church to feel comfortable. I don't want the preacher to ever say anything about my sin. I don't want the preacher to ever convict me. When I leave the church house, I want to feel good about myself. Well, let me tell you about you and I. There's none of us righteous, no, not one. All of us are depraved. All of us are sin sick. That's why we need a risen Savior. Number three, Dr. Piper's group said that the number one reason people want to come to church is to hear other ministers' opinions. Opinions. Can I share this with you? You may not believe me, but I'm going to tell you this. There are preachers across America today that will not open up the Word of God in His service today. They won't. They won't quote one Scripture. They won't say anything about Scripture. And that preacher, quote unquote, will only give their opinions. I mean, we are having church services, people meeting, and they're not opening up the Word of God and studying the Word of God verse by verse. They're talking about the possibilities of all the great advantages of taking the COVID vaccine. Are you kidding me? Isn't that crazy? That we're going to meet in a church service and we're going to talk about the advantages of taking a vaccine? And then we're going to have a church service, and this is what we're going to meet about. We're going to meet about this, or we're going to meet about that. And they're going to get up there and give their opinions. And it's going to make everybody feel comfortable so that everybody can fellowship together. And they call it what? Quote, unquote, church. Wrong. Wrong. The next thing is people come to church not only for fellowship, not only for comfortability, not only for hearing opinions of ministers, but also they come because they want to be entertained. Entertained. They want to be entertained. I spoke out against the false preacher from Houston, Texas one time. I did it in a revival. And as people were filing out of the church, I got tore up by a lady. She said, "Have you ever been to that church?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, you don't have any room to talk." I said, "I've watched him on TV. I got suckered into drinking the cherry Kool-Aid. I got suckered into listening to that positive message. And then I got to opening up my Bible and saying, dude, this guy's a fake. He's a fraud. He's taking every one of these verses out of context." She said, "Well, you've never seen the worship." I said, "Oh, yes, I did. When I watched it on TV, I watched their worship. All it was just a big old show. That's all it was, just a big old show." And people go in there and they dance around like they're chicken with their head cut off. And people go in there lifting their hands and doing the wave during a church service. Are you kidding me? I'm thankful today that we sing, He Arose. I'm thankful for the hymns. I'm thankful for the music that sings, that praises and worships the Lord. But there's so many people just want to go and be entertained. You got these preachers now that wear these polo shirts that are too large, too small, so it shows their muscles. If I did that, you'd see all my fat, right? But that they wear these shirts and they walk around with these jeans that are ripped from side to side, and they walk around on stage and they just give you this big old show. And people go to it in droves because what? They want to be entertained. Two more. Dr. Piper, in his research, said people go to church because they want to shield themselves from reality. And that's something that I could kind of sympathize with somebody for. When I walk into these doors, this is my sanctuary. Can I get a witness on that? Everything that I'm going through on the outside, I just want to leave it on the outside, right? Everything that I'm going through personally in life, professionally, whatever may be going on, I just want to be able to come into these doors and I just want to be able to worship the Lord. And so sometimes people come to church because they want to be shielded from this reality that they have to face. So they come into church just so they can do what we call is escapism, if you will. And then last but not least, through this research that was done, another study through Dr. Piper said that people come to church for not only all these reasons, but they come to church because they want to be bragged upon. They want to be told how good they are. Okay? Told how good they are. They want to be told something good about them. So they want to have this constant edification. They want to have this constant encouragement. And listen, I'm all about edification and I'm all about encouragement. Okay? I'm all about, hey, let's go. You're doing a great job. I'm proud of you. But sometimes, more than not, we don't need edification and encouragement. We need the proverbial kick in the tail end. And the way that you get that is from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in your life that convicts you of personal sin. And when He convicts you of personal sin, this is what you need to do. You need to repent and turn away from that sin. This is what these reasons were. Did you notice what was left off? Yeah, the number one reason that we come to church is to worship Almighty God. Almighty God. It's not about our personality clashes with each other. It's not about the color of the carpet. It's not about the color of the pews. It's not about the style of music. It's not about how the parking lot looked this morning and I couldn't find a spot. It's not about this. It's not about that. We get up on Sunday mornings and we come to be a presentable, acceptable sacrifice to our God so that we can give Him the worship that He deserves. That He deserves. Cleopas and the disciple, they understood this. Because when they met with Him, they said, oh, did not our hearts burn within us when He talked to us and when He shared the Scriptures with us. Did not our hearts burn? See, church, on this Easter Sunday, for everyone that's here today, it's not about our fellowship. It's not about making you comfortable. It's not about hearing the opinions of Michael Mize, because my opinions and $1.50 will get you a Coke out of our Coke machine at Alba Gold. Now I hear we're not supposed to buy Coke anymore, and I'm probably going to ascribe to that. Entertainment. Shielding from reality to be bragged upon. Our number one reason is that we come here to worship God. John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. He must increase and I must decrease. We're here today because the tomb is empty. Amen. We're here today because our Savior is risen. Amen. We're here today because this is who the Savior is and who we worship today. We're called to worship in spirit and in truth. We're called to worship and give thanks to You, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and will glorify Your name forever and ever. Psalm 86, verse 12. We are called to do that. Why? Because to all my friends here today that may be thinking in your mind, is there really a God? Oh yes, there is one God. Oh yes, there is one Savior. There is one who went to Calvary to pay the price for sin. And His name is Jesus Christ. You may be sitting here today and you may be listening to the headline news of how we all worship one God. We don't. Allah is a false God. Allah is a moon God. Allah is a God that is not real. Allah is a false God. His prophet Muhammad was a pedophile. He had 15, 14, 13, 12, 11-year-old concubines. And they say, oh, he was the great prophet Muhammad. Let me tell you about Muhammad. Muhammad is buried in the Green Dome of Medina, Saudi Arabia. Let me tell you about Buddha. Buddha is buried in a tomb in China. Let me tell you about Hinduism. Hinduism, the false gods of Hinduism, all of them are false. None of them are real. Let me tell you about animism. Animism in Africa where they worship animals. Let me tell you about animals. Animals fade and they go away. Let me tell you about people today that worship Taoism, Shintoism, even Satanism. And I told the early service, we're dealing with some of this at our school of battling the principalities and powers. So we're having to put on that full armor of God every day when we go to school because of these crazies that have moved into this place trying to take over the values and morals of our country. You and I as Christians need to stand for the Word of God. And so all these things that come together, you say, well, this is what I worship. And I was just, trying to think as I'm debating this person that hates what I stand for. And they said, well, I don't believe in God. I said, you should. Then they made this statement that said this, but I believe in Jesus. Oh, do you? Well, He's in our history books. So you mean to tell me you believe in Him just because He's in your history books? Oh, people today, aren't you thankful for faith that He gives us? The gift of faith that He gives us that we know. You and I weren't there to look in that tomb, but you and I know today that that tomb is empty. You and I know today that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You and I know today that what? He's coming back to get His. Oh man, I can't wait for that day. So today we gather on the first day of the week. Today we gather on Easter Sunday to celebrate our risen Savior. And today we gather in a word called victory. Last night Doug and I were texting during the Final Four. And that game between Gonzaga and UCLA was epic. What an incredible basketball game. And at the end of overtime, the kid from Gonzaga hosts up this nearly half-court shot. Such beautiful form. Everything was perfect. And it banked off the glass of the basketball goal and went in the hoop. And Gonzaga won by 3 points at the buzzer in overtime to go play Baylor tomorrow night. Baptist against Catholics. You better be rooting for the Baptist. Okay? I always enjoy in those games, what I enjoy watching in those games is I love to see the emotion on their faces. And the cameras had panned everywhere. The kid that hit the running shot ran to the table and he jumped up on it in victory. And all the teammates that were there on the floor ran by him in victory, hugging him. The guys on the bench that don't ever get to play, they're over there with their little hoodie on and their little mask on, and they're sitting 6 feet apart. So ridiculous. But anyway, they're sitting 6 feet apart. They all get up, and man, just the excitement on their face. I seen one guy turn all the way around and just running in excitement to celebrate this victory to get them to the championship game. I looked over there at their coach. Man, he grew up as an Assembly of God in the Pentecostal church, and now he's coaching at a Catholic school. Mark Few, I really like him. I don't know his faith, but I know he's a good guy and a good coach. And Mark Few's over there, and when he hit that shot, he just lifted both of his arms like this. And then he turned to the other coach and he said, I can't believe it. Can't believe it. Victory. Victory. Those kids last night from Gonzaga, they thought that was the greatest victory they ever had. But let me tell you something, Christian. The greatest victory we ever have is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says it like this. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for victory. Lord, we are gathered together today, and I'm so thankful for the ones that are here. And we come together today, and we are celebrating victory, not victory in ourselves, but victory in you. Lord, that you overcame the cross. You shed your precious blood for sinners like me. Lord, you died, and on the third day, you arose. And Lord, we're here to celebrate that today. Lord, today as we've studied your word, we've seen eyewitnesses' accounts of people that seen you. And they went out and told others and they didn't believe. Lord, my prayer today is that God, through your marvelous grace, awaken this sinner's soul. Give them the gift of faith so that they can call upon you. That whoever believes calls upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. Lord, for us as Christians, I pray that we're constantly reminded, Lord, that the first day of the week has been set aside for us to honor, for us to come, for us to gather, to celebrate the risen Lord and Savior. Lord, as we think about today, as we go out with our families, as we go out with our friends, maybe there's some people here today that's just going home to spend it alone. Lord, today I pray that we reflect on your marvelous grace. Lord, I pray that we reflect on how great you are. And Lord, as we look at this today, Lord, I thank you for the victory that's been given through Christ Jesus. We love you. We praise you. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thank you for being here this Easter Sunday. What a special day, amen. Hey, to all my friends that are here and friends that I've invited to come, thank you for being here. That means the world to me. If you're here today and you have questions about the message, you have questions about faith in Christ, you have questions about His marvelous grace, we'd love to meet with you and talk with you and share the plan of salvation with you. We'd love to talk to you about who God is, who our Savior is. So if you'd like to meet, I'll be standing over here to the side and love to visit with you, love to pray with you. Again, we thank you all for being here today. Remember, tonight we won't have services. They're canceled tonight, so you can spend time with family and friends and enjoy your afternoon. But we will be back Wednesday night. If you're looking for a Wednesday night Bible study, there's some great things happening here at New Hope. At 6 p.m., Brother Schaefer's taking us through the book of Exodus. And man, he just did a marvelous job on the Ten Commandments. I really wish he would have went through one by one, but he said it'd take so long. But man, it's just been good. Come out at 6 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, Brother David Curry is teaching a verse-by-verse study on Ephesians. And then Brother Brennan's got the youth back there, and man, they're doing such an awesome job and awesome things going on. Kids are plugged in everywhere out here on Wednesday nights, so bring your kids. And then back on Sunday morning, we're going to be back in the Gospel of Mark, and then next Sunday night we'll be back in the book of Proverbs. I hope you'll come and join with us. Hey, thank you for being here today. We love you, and we appreciate you. Let's stand, Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Alicia.